And what a story it is that we have to share and to tell. Amen. What God has done for us. Last year, we spent the year looking at the phrase, I am. And we were looking at ourselves and who we were in light to what God said about us. I am designed for a purpose. I am created. All of these I ams that there are. And this year, I want us to, not going to be the same series, but the phrase is very similar of the I am. But we're going to spend a year. We're going to take a journey. I want you all to take a journey with me through the entire Bible this year. And we're going to be looking at the I am of who God is, who He says He is. And I believe out of that, really the theme for this year and the idea of looking at this is that we can trust God. There's something very special, something very unique about the I am. That's how He described Himself, as we'll see later on, to Moses, as the I am. And what better way as we begin the year, we begin this journey that we're going to go through the Bible, then beginning in Genesis. New year, a new creation. This morning, would you take your Bibles and open them to the book of Genesis chapter 1 with me? As today, I want us to look at the creation account, the creation story. We're going to be looking at Genesis 1 and 2 this morning because that's where we get a description of what happened. And would you stand with me this morning as we read from the book Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night, and there was evening, and there was morning one day. Then God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." God made the expanse and separated the waters which were below the expanse from the waters which were above the expanse, and it was so. God called the expanse heaven, and there was evening, and there was morning, a second day. Then God said, "Let the waters below the heavens be gathered into one place, and let the dry land appear," and it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the gathering of the waters He called seas, and God saw it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruits on the trees of the earth bearing fruit of their kind with seeds in them," and it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed after their kind, and trees bearing fruit with seeds in them after their kind, and God saw it was good. There was evening, and there was morning, a third day. I'm going to pause there and pray and let you sit, and then I'll continue to read this so that we can grasp what it is. Father God, I am thankful for Your Word. Father, You don't want us to be ignorant. Lord, You created us with a mind. Father, You want us to understand how much You love us, and by that You've given us Your Word. Would You speak to us, Your children? We're listening. Holy Spirit, would You open our minds and our hearts to hear from You? Would You help us to understand the truth of Your Word? Help us to move it to our heart and cause us to respond this morning to You in light of Your revelation to us today. And Father God, I just pray everything in the precious and the most holy name of Your Son, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Let's continue listening to this wonderful story of the creation, picking up there at verse 14. Then God said, "Let there be light in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for light in the expanse of the heavens. Give light on the earth, and it was so. God made the two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He made the stars also. God placed them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth and to govern the day and the night and to separate the light from darkness, and God saw that it was good. There was evening and there was morning, a fourth day. Then God said, let the waters teem with swarms of living creatures. Let the birds fly above the earth in the open expanse of the heavens. God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that move, with which the waters swarmed after their kind, and every winged bird after its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the sea, and let the birds multiply on the earth. Then there was evening and the morning, a fifth day. Then God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures after their kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth after their kind, and it was so. God made the beasts of the earth after their kind and the cattle after their kind and everything that creeps on the ground after its kind, and God saw that it was good. Now listen to this. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Then God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of all the earth, and every tree which has fruit yielding seed, it shall be for you. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the sky, and to everything that moves on the earth, which has life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Chapter 2 goes on and basically recounts the creation story, talking about how it happened and what happened. So we're going to be looking at a little bit of both of those, but what I want us to do as we learn who God is and how we can trust him, let's look at back there at the beginning, Genesis 1:1, and you see the word God in our English translations, but if you were to look into Hebrew, the word is Elohim, but there's something very special about that word I want to point out to you. Elohim is a plural word, the way it's written. What does that mean? Why is that significant? Well, it says a lot about our God. We say God, we think one, and God is one. But the word is plural because God is a Trinity. It's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit that make Elohim. Three personalities, they're tied into the one. So remember that as we look at that, because we see them throughout this whole process. But very important, because some people say, well, why do we talk about Trinity? We don't necessarily see that word in the Bible. Well, we see that Elohim is plural, and we know there's plural, and then we begin to see the different parts throughout his scripture. But the first thing I want us to note today, as we look at who God is and how it is that we can trust him, the confidence that we can have to place in him, first of all, is God is eternal. Okay? God is eternal. What do I mean by God is eternal? Look there again at verse 1. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning. When things began, God created. So what does that mean about God? He's always been. He wasn't created. Now don't ask me to fully explain that to you, because if you ever can, then you can come share it with me. Because you see, as the Bible tells us, God's ways are higher than our ways, his thoughts more than our. We can't understand that because we were a created being. We live in time, 9 o'clock, 11 o'clock, Monday through Sunday, and all of these different things. We live within time. But you see here it says, in the beginning, so when things began, God already was. God was before time. I think that makes him a little different and unique than you and I, amen? I believe if someone was always there, then maybe I can trust him. Maybe he's capable enough to handle what comes into my life. You see, God was not created, he just was. There are people who will debate this. There are theologians that could spend years and years trying to explain this and never fully explain it. But we have faith and we believe because we have God's word. And he just tells us he was there. Everything else has come after him. So he's eternal. I don't use the word everlasting. You see, we as believers in Christ have everlasting life. There's a time that our life began and our life will continue. But you see, God is eternal. He always was, he is today, and he always will be. Not only is God eternal, but God is creator. That's what I want us to pause just for a moment and to think about that. God was creator. All of us enjoy doing things with our hands, doing things with our mind. So I want to give you an activity to just briefly do this morning. In your head, I want you to create something. I want you to build something in your head. Think about that for just a moment. What is it that you want to build? Now I want you to think of how you're going to build that and begin to build that thing in your mind. Just kind of like the other day, I decided I would work on making a list for the week of what we would have for supper. And then I began to compile the things on that list that I would need to make sure that I had from the grocery store. And then you begin to go into the kitchen for me, and you begin to get this item, and you put it in there, and you get this item, and you put it in. Maybe you're going to bake a cake. We had some brisket and some baked potatoes last night. Maybe it's a bicycle or a car or something that you've built. But now that you've thought about that, I want you to realize that you and I are humans, which means we're created by God. Remember, I said God's better than us, amen? I think we would all agree with that. What's different about God than us? There is no one who has ever lived on this earth that has created anything that they didn't use something to create it. You're going to build a car. You take tires. You put them on. You take windshields. You put them in. You bake a cake. You take eggs. You put them in. But what does it tell us here at verse 2? It says, the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. God created out of nothing. Everything we have today is created out of something that was already created. God's all-powerful self spoke and created everything that's been created. Think about that. We hear of all these people and the wonderful creations they do, and we want to praise him. But do people ever stop and think about the wonderful world that God created using his voice, and there was nothing else? You see, God is creator. He spoke it, and it was. It told us here at verse 3, God said, Elohim said, let there be light, and there was light. It didn't think about it. He didn't go over, screw in the light bulb and plug it into the wall and use electricity that was already there. He spoke into the darkness and into the void, and there was light. But you see, there's a lot more to God than the eternal God, and that God is creator. He is the master designer and creator. But where I want to spend the most time this morning is on the third one there. God is order. O-R-D-E-R. God is order. We're going to look here in a minute, and I want you to listen as I briefly run down this account of creation very quickly, and then we're going to look at each part of it. But I want you to look at the days and just begin to let it meditate in your mind. Day one, light was created. Day two, there was an expanse. Day three, dry land. Day four, sun, moon, and stars. Day five, fish and birds. Day six, land, animals, and mankind. Why do I say God is a God of order? If God would have created in any different order than he did, it would have failed. It would not have worked. Why is that? What keeps us alive? That what keeps us normally outside? What keeps us warm? The sun? If we were created for sun, guess what? We'd frozen died. Right? So I want us to think about this as we work our way through this here. He created light. Now at this point, he didn't create the sun. He just created light. Everything before this time, as we would try to put it in our time box, everything before that was just dark. God just was. The Holy Spirit was just there. The Son was just there, the God the Son. So God, first of all, created light. Imagine if we didn't have light, we couldn't see anything. What would we miss out of the joy of God's creation? But second was the expanse. We call that, some versions, a firmament or space. It was a separation of sky and water. You see, it was all just there, and God made a difference between sky and water. We have sky up there. There's some water up there. We have the heavens beyond that. But he created this separation, and now we have sky, and everything's covered in water. How many of you could swim all day long for the rest of your life? So what did God do on day three? But he made dry land. God spoke, and dry land became. It separated the land from the water. He created the vegetation and the plants. Now here we go again. If God had made all the vegetation and plants and there was no land, how many of you have ever overwatered a plant? It don't like it unless it's a water plant. But we can't eat only water plants. So you begin to see how God has done, designed, spoken, and created in an order. He got the dry land, and then he gave the vegetation and the plants and the fruit trees. And then day four, he created the sun, moon, and stars. You see, the plants are now here. They need the sun. What did he say about the sun? We can read in chapters 1 and chapter 2. He gave the sun to be the ruler of the daytime. You know, we don't walk out normally, unless you live in Alaska or somewhere like that most times. You don't walk out in the middle of the day and just see a moon. The sun, the grandest of all, the light, the heat source, our energy source, everything in the sun governs and rules the day. Think about that. The S-U-N is the light and governs and rules the day. The S-O-N is just the same. Then we have the night, and you have the moon that becomes a reflection of the sun. And then he put out there the stars, and he tells us that he did this so that we could tell day from night. He did it so that we would have seasons. The way he put the earth and the moon and the sun and all that into rotation, we get different seasons. Here in Louisiana, we have hot and hotter. But, you know, some places actually get a spring and summer and a fall and a winter and all of that. We get a little bit of that. But it does that, and for years. But guess what? Here is where time is able to be told. We see in each day, it said there is evening and there is morning, day one. There's evening and there's day, there's morning too. Now, let me tell you, I'm not here to debate this morning. I'm going to tell you what I believe from Scripture, because there are some that will believe. A day is 24 hours. Creation was done in 6 days, 6 24-hour periods. Now, why am I saying that? You will find the word days used as time or as years in the Bible, but here I believe that we're looking at 24-hour days, and those will tell you, then will argue with you, that these days were longer than that. I'm just going to tell you what I'm seeing in Scripture this morning, that if there was evening and there was morning day one, evening and morning, what does that tell you? There's 24-hour period. See, their days actually began in the evening and went through the next day to the next evening. And we see in here that he put the sun to be out at day and the moon out at night. I've never seen the sun out for 2 or 3 days or a year at a time and then come night. So I believe we're seeing here that God has established the boundaries of time as we know it today. Each day he created. Now you see the power of God as he spoke these things and they created. I mean, he spoke the birds and they came and there they were. Day five, we have the birds and the fish. It says that the water creatures, the fish and the flying creatures, the birds. Now you see, if we didn't have trees for the birds to be in, where would they be? They'd get tired of flapping around. Not all birds do well sitting on the water just like we don't. But he had the water and he put the fish in the water and he created the fish. He put the trees out there and he created the birds. But you also notice that he's already made vegetation and plants and fruit trees. Well, these fish and birds are going to need things to live off of. If they'd have come first, they'd have been awful hungry. They might have become like some of us and become pretty hangry and been mad at God because they didn't have nothing to eat. I mean, we see that in the Israelites. But God is a God of order. He is the ultimate designer and orchestrator of this creation. And then after he created the fish and the birds, he gave them a command. He blessed them and told them to be fruitful and multiply. Well, I'm glad he did that. He knew what he was doing, because if they didn't be fruitful and multiply, we wouldn't have no steaks. We wouldn't have no fish to eat. We wouldn't have no ducks to go out and shoot and kill. And no deer, you know, they had to be fruitful and to multiply. Now God has established all of these things, but he knew that there was still something needed. So day six, he created the land animals, the cattle, the things that cross around the ground, the bugs and the worms and the rabbits and all the beautiful things that we see. And he also, on day six, created something special. And that was man. Why do I say man is special? Because man is different from all other creation. Listen to this from Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us, let me pause there. There's that plural, that Elohim, us, showing up again. Let us make man in our image, according to the likeness, and let them rule over the fish and over the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps. Let us make man in our image. What is our image? Have you ever wondered that? Why are we so different? Why are we so unique? Well, what is the image of God? I began telling you this morning was the what? The us, the plural part of it. God is a Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We as mankind are a Trinity. We have a spirit, a soul, and a body. We don't see that in any of the other animals. Also, we're made in his image because we have a right to choose. We're not just a wild animal with instinct, but we can choose. He created us that way because he wanted us to choose to love him. Why do I say that we were created different and in his image by this? Because let me tell you, God chooses to love you. He chooses to love you regardless. And we get the right to choose to love God. But what else do we see that's unique here about mankind over everything else? Turn there, chapter 7, chapter 2, and verse 7. Says, then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground, and here it is, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. God just spoke the others into existence. But here we get where God is breathing his breath, the ruah, the spirit. He's breathing life into us. And also man, while created by God, God gave man dominion. Told us to rule over all the living creatures and all the plants. You see, man was given control over God's creation, not the other way around. It's another way that we're into his image. And then I haven't forgotten day 7. You see, day 7 was a day of rest. God rested, it tells us in Genesis 2:3. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. And what I want to tell you about the number 7, you see numbers are often important in Scripture. The number 7 is a number that represents completion. Over at the end of chapter 1, verse 31 says, God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning the sixth day. God looked at everything he made, and he said, it's very good. It was complete. It was exactly what he wanted. He had finished his work, and on day 7, he rested. But the scripture tells us about this day 7 that it was blessed and sanctified. God blessed it, or as you might would read, enact a divine favor, and he sanctified it to render holy or set apart. See, day 7 is different than all the others. We work. God worked. God created. God designed. He designed us that way. But then that seventh day, he rested and he made it special. He made it a day of rest. Let me just give you what a few of these days represent. You know what day one would be equivalent to today? Sunday. We call it oftentimes the first day of the week. It's the Lord's Day. I found it amazing as the Lord was speaking to me. I was studying that. He was like, you know, the Lord's Day, we call it that because that's the day that Jesus was resurrected out of the grave. It's the day that we worship him. It's the day that everything began. But get this, we call it the Lord's Day. What did God do on the first day? But he created light. Think about that. This is the Lord's Day. God created light. The Lord being Jesus, what did he say? I am the light. Isn't that amazing how the first day of creation was light? It was just there. It's exactly what Jesus is. See, Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus wasn't created. He always was. And then the seventh day would be our Saturday, the day of rest. God completed his work. What does that tell me about me and my work? I should be able to, in 6 days, do everything that I need to do. And I should have a day of rest. Some people don't necessarily agree with that. They say, well, we don't necessarily see all of that part repeated over in the New Testament. I think there's some things that lead there. But why do I say that? Why should I be able to do everything I need to do in 6 days and rest on the seventh? Or you? Well, let me ask you this question. This is what I had to ask myself. Who do I think I am? Am I any better than God? If God could do everything in 6 days and he rested, I'm created in his image. I should be able to do everything in 6 days as work and then to rest. You see, we were actually commanded by God to rest because he made it holy. So let me ask you this morning in looking at that. See, God is the great eternal God. Amen. God is the creator of everything. He created you and me. He's created everything we see and everything around us. And let me tell you in closing, you can trust God because God is all powerful, he's all knowing, and he is the one and only true God. So if we were to take God, I am, we would call him creator. May you bow your heads. Father God, I thank you again, Lord. I just every time I come before you, I just have to be thankful for who you are. God, I have to thank you for your word that teaches me who you are. Thank you for people and you've put in my life, Lord, to teach me. Father, thankful for life and for salvation. Father, thank you that you tell me at the very beginning of your word, from the first words and the first verse, who you are. And Father, that sets the stage for the entire Bible. Father, it sets the stage for our entire life. Father, I pray for each and every one that's here right now, Lord, that Holy Spirit, you would speak to our hearts. Father, I don't know where each one's at in their journey of life. We're all on different parts. But Father, if there's someone here, Lord, I believe that needed to hear that, that Lord, you can be trusted. Lord, you're powerful enough to handle whatever it is that we're going through right now. Whatever difficulty it is, whatever news we've received. Father, just the idea of beginning a new year. Father, I know that in my life and in others, Father, we look back over last year and, Father, it was difficult. And, Father, while we're excited to embark on a new year, we maybe come with a little nerves. Lord, can we just release that to you? Knowing that you have gotten us through the last year, because we're here now. And Father, you are eternal. You are the same God. You'll be with us this year. Father, may we just commit to you now. Father, would you speak to our hearts? Lord, what is it that we need to know about you as creator? Father, may we acknowledge you today as creator. And Lord God, I just pray everything in the precious, most holy name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.